You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Attention all high school juniors and seniors looking to play football at the collegiate level. Register for the Cleveland Browns High School Showcase taking place on Sunday, March 9th in Berea. More than 50 college coaches have been invited. Space is limited. Visit clevelandbrowns.com to register. It's Friday, and what we do on this show that we lovingly call Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, with Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci, Megan Rock, by the way, tweeting today, and she's putting together the Browns Daily Wrap that will be seen on clevelandbrowns.com later on. And also our producer, Jason Gibbs. We do Friday Forecast. Is that what we're working on now?
Why don't we get Bill in Brecksville?
You want to do phone first? All right, we'll do phone first. Let's go to Brecksville. All right. Phil, what's up?
Hey, guys.
How you doing?
I'm good, thanks. I'm hoping cooler heads prevail and they look in backer, wide receiver, right tackle. But, Vic, I guess the thing I'm most interested in is as I get older watching these drafts, and I've been through 30 of them, is that are you ever sure? I mean, you were there when the Bill, were you there when the Bills drafted Bruce Smith and Thurman Thomas and Jim Kelly? And are you ever sure when they do it? Is anybody ever sure?
No. Answer yes to the first question and no to the second. I was around for all of those picks. And I'll just give you one backstory. Maybe two quick ones because it's very relevant to your point. With Kelly, by the way, we got to put that one aside because he didn't sign with the Bills coming out of 83 draft. As you know, United States Football League, and actually his stock grew. He became a more valuable entity in two great years in the USFL than he was coming out of the University of Miami in 83. That's just a little caveat. Bruce Smith, top pick of the 85 draft, when a lot of people were clamoring for Doug Flutie in that same draft to be the Bills pick. I'm talking about Bills fans. So they draft Bruce, and I'll tell you what, for the first 2 years in the league, Bruce Smith was in 85 and 86, part of some bad football teams, 2-14 and then a 4-12, and he was not that. I mean, he showed some, you could see the freakish abilities that could be there, but he was so overweight. He was carrying 300-plus pounds, which was not right for him.
Remember you saying that, because he turned into an Adonis.
And he turned into, by 87, he discovered, working on what was then the known as the stair steppers with the chains that has since been, you know, more, I mean, you think about ellipticals now and how advanced they are. But the old style, old school stair steppers that had chains, he was starting to break those, not with his weight, but with the exertion. He wore them out. I mean, they literally had to, like, replace chains as he wore these things down and sculpted his body into something very different, and that's when Bruce Smith became Bruce Smith, the Hall of Famer to be. So you, for 2 years, they weren't sure. Hank Bulla benched him. He got benched, and he was, you know, he kind of knew that, you know, he wasn't doing it because he was out of shape. He was gassed in the fourth quarter. This guy, what's the rest of the story? Pro Football Hall of Famer. Thurman Thomas, Oklahoma State, had knee surgery from a basketball injury that he suffered, and he wasn't playing on the basketball team at Oklahoma State. He was just a pickup game, suffered a knee injury, underwent a scope. A lot of teams were, he originally was thought to be a first-rounder. Teams were scared off of him. The Bills had their medical staff study the surgery that he underwent, study the results, study the knee, and their team doctors told Bill Polian and the GM at the time, trust that this guy will be okay. There were some teams that were grading him even beyond the second round. The Bills picked him in the second round. So to the question of are you ever certain, no. And no. That is always in the back of my mind when I see yet, and that's yet another Hall of Fame story that we're talking about with Thomas, but the uncertainty of what you get when you go into or make these choices, you know, it's courage of conviction, and you're now talking about a first-year general manager in Ray Farmer, a first-year head coach in Mike Pettine, an organization that's still trying to find its way to make these critical picks. So as much as everybody raves about how great the talent is in this draft, I don't know that it's a fish-in-a-barrel draft. I don't know that you just reach down, close your eyes, and you're going to pull out a great player. Your homework, your diligence, your intelligence, everything, your instincts, they all better be sharp to get it right.
Absolutely. All right, it's time for a little Friday forecast here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
Question number one, gentlemen. What's the one thing the Browns will miss most from DeQuell Jackson?
Leadership, locker room presence, veteran leadership, the glue of this team, the guy who helped stem the tide when it got rocky. I think that the players are in place, though. Joe Thomas, Joe Hayden, hopefully T.J. Ward, Alex Mack be back to continue that on. But I think that's the number one thing, the leadership.
Yeah, not a given that you can fill that void because, as Nathan stated so well, there's so many components to what DeQuell Jackson meant to this football team, and it's not going to be easily replaced.
Question two is linebacker, now the most important position next to quarterback for the Browns to address in free agency and or the draft this year.
I think that argument can be made, yes, that it's become much more important because it's two spots, not one, that you're looking to replace. I always thought it was important, and I'm beginning to think now that without at least the stability or whatever you want to call it that you had from a Jackson, from the veteran presence that he is, you've got to get that position right, and you got to, between free agency and the draft, you've got to hit it very well.
I think that it will be not easily addressed, but I do believe the opportunities to address are there. It now kind of becomes on par quarterback. Then, of course, you've got wide receiver, in my opinion, running back. You've got inside linebacker. Those were always my big four. You could argue 2 to 4 and cornerback as well. I'm corner, not quarter, as well. Team's got some needs, but yes, they have nothing there right now. I know Paul Hazel is a guy that maybe could make some plays, but no, they need to go again and get somebody in free agency and get somebody in the draft as well. Or Darius Eubanks, I'm sorry, not Paul Hazel. Darius Eubanks, I meant. But, yes, huge important now, hugely important.
Question three, Johnny Manziel, Blake Bortles, Teddy Bridgewater, or Derek Carr? Which one would you take if you were the Browns today?
I'm going to stick with Blake Bortles. I think he has the best chance to be a success in this league over time. Not one of those guys I could see making an impact right away, and that includes Bortles. But I like what he has to offer over a longer period. I just think there is more talent there, and I think others are coming to see that. The more people I speak with around the league see the same thing I'm seeing from the guy, and there's just a lot to like there. And the mechanics, the things that have maybe not made him the, quote, perfect-looking guy, especially when it comes to accuracy, very fixable, coachable. He's already making strides in that area.
I don't know if he can coach accuracy, so I'm going to go with the most accurate quarterback in this draft, and that's Teddy Bridgewater. I think he's the most ready from day one. However, I'm going to cheat, and I'm going to say Teddy Bridgewater or acquire Matt Schaub, sign him as a free agent if he's released, make a cheap trade for him, bring him in. He knows the Shanahan offense. Have him and Hoyer compete and either trade down to pick up another future first or use number four on Sammy Watkins.
One thing on accuracy, I think it's about footwork, and it can be improved if you can improve your footwork, and that's what he's addressing. I don't think he got that type of coaching necessarily all that well at the collegiate level. In fact, I'm told now there was less emphasis on that because he also could get away with doing a lot more at the competition that he faced for the most part at Central Florida.
Final question today, guys, involves Arizona, the NFL, politics. Should the NFL get involved in political matters when it comes to cities, states hosting the Super Bowl?
I don't know.
It's a tough area to walk into for the league, but I think at the same time, you want to stand for something, and I guess if you're going to put your brand, when the NFL picks a spot to have a Super Bowl, picks a city, it's partnered now with that city in probably bigger ways than the, quote, average convention, say, that shows up there, although that's a pretty big infusion of cash and people into an area. And I guess if you have a fundamental disagreement with something that the city or their state or whatever does, and it opposes your views as a league, or it runs counter to what you're doing. And the NFL is the ultimate image league. It's also has a team an army of lawyers who are always looking for ways to make sure they're covered and buttoned down. I mean, that's what the NFL has been long famous for, as especially when Paul Tagliabue, a former lawyer, became commissioner. They've just been so big on looking at a 360-degree look at everything and say, are we covered here? Are we covered here? Are we covered here? If we put this thing there, aren't we looking bad? We don't want to look bad. So fix it. That's right. How they work.
Yes. That's it. All right. Doug Deacon from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network joins us next on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.